Well, good morning, my beloved brothers and sisters. It's a privilege to be able to come this morning to preach and to finish our series in the One Another's. Before we do that, let's pray. Lord God, we are humbled that we have the privilege to be before your word this morning, to have it in our hands and to open it up to discover the wondrous words of life. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless us and teach us through your word. And as we understand your word, to put it into practice in this church for your glory. And so, Lord, we ask, would you do that amongst us? And we pray this in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus, the head of this church. Amen. Well, there is a day that I will never forget. It was a day that changed many things, many, many things, even till to this day. And on that day, Carmen and I woke up and things felt a little bit different, a little bit unusual. It was about 6:30 a.m. and outside our apartment door, there was more commotion than normal. And the sound was of a TV blaring. And as we came outside our door, we saw our landlord there, and she was in a state of unbelief. Her attention was fixed on the TV. As she watched those images which are probably, many of you, burned on your minds, of two airplanes crashing into the World Trade Center towers. We were living in LA at that time, and so you can imagine how much more emotion we would feel. That was during our seminary years, my seminary years. And so, yes, it was September 11th, 2001. And next month, this coming month, is going to be the 25th anniversary of 9/11. And I'll share more about why I introduce our sermon in this way later. Many of you know our summer series has been on the One Another's in the New Testament. And this morning we conclude this series. And Tommy was preoccupied this week. And so I get the privilege to be able to finish what he started. And we do welcome him back. I see you have a bit of a tan, and Leo, I think he's up. Oh, Leo's over here. I thought he was up there. And Jesse, they were being tested this week with One Another's, tested to apply all those One Another's in that intense situation with all our youth. And it looks like they're smiling, so I think they survived that. And we welcome you back. And thank you. Thank you for your ministry to our youth. Every year, many years, they've served in that way. And so, because Tommy was away, I did get his manuscripts. It was so easy to just finish this finale because I just input everything in ChatGPT, click the button, and boom, I got the sermon. No, I'm sorry, I don't do that, okay? I don't stoop that low to do that. It's tempting, I would say, but I don't do that. And so ultimately, Tommy, even though he's sitting there with his wife, he vicariously has sermon prepped and is preaching today. But to be more serious, to recap things, we will return to the first sermon in this series, which serves as the keystone to the One Another's, if you remember. And 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 reminds us that we, beloved, let us love one another, For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In these practical day-to-day realities, this command to love one another appears the most in the New Testament. Loving one another is the foundation of obeying the one another passages, and because God loved us, we can love one another by the power of the Holy Spirit and cultivate our obedience to these commands here at OBC. And I'm quoting a famous pastor, at least to us, my brother Tommy. So I did take some of his stuff, and I'm quoting him. We're not talking about mindless devotion, rote practice, or even dead orthodoxy when we talk about the one another's, but it is rather a heart response of the saved, grounded in God's word, in a God who is love, and in Christ's love for the church. And since Christ loves the church, he loves us, we as a church are obligated to love one another as a demonstration of God's love perfected in our lives. And therefore, let us be intentional about obeying the one another commands of the New Testament. And this foundation is vital. Without Christ's love in us through his gospel of grace, it would be difficult to live out the rest. And in this series, we have learned not only to love one another, but also to forgive, forbear, stir up, greet, and to exhort one another. And so the purpose of this summer series is to understand how to protect and deepen our relationships with one another. And this stems from a pastoral burden for the church, for you, to grow in the faith. And this stems from these New Testament commands, which are relevant to us and are to be the normal and expected texture of life together for people who have been loved by God and saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you were saved into a community. And this is what I want to dwell on in our series finale. We'll get the big picture of biblical community. And we're going to look at this in our main point. This is the take home. This is the meat, what you must understand. This is what you eat and live. And this is the point. It's on the PowerPoint. It says, when we practice the one another's, we experience the beautiful tapestry of community that Christ deeply desires for each of us in his church, this local church family. And this tapestry of community will answer these three key questions. What is community? How can we put the one another's into action? And what is the outcome when the one another's are a part of your life? And so let's begin to dig in, and let's look at our first question. What is community? Stats Canada in 2024 found that, quote, in Canadian society today, Generation Generation Z is those born roughly between 1997 and 2012, some of you. So it says Generation Z is seeking out community, particularly in faith and religious settings, more than any other age demographic, end quote. And other sources report the reasons why Gen Z and millennials are those between 30 and 45, they face severe isolation in our age, in this what they call a hyper-digital, transaction-heavy culture. Transaction-heavy culture, I didn't know what that meant, so I had to look it up. It means do this, get that. That's the kind of generation the millennials are in, and these Gen Z, and are actively seeking new roots. It continues and says, driven by loneliness, existential questions, and a craving for face-to-face interaction, Canadian youth are actively turning to community centers and churches for a sense of belonging. And so in light of this search for community, we know that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And we at OBC, saved by hearing the gospel, repenting of our sins, believing and following Jesus, are the community of the redeemed that these age groups seek. And so you are a special community of people who are literally called out from and to. You were called out of darkness and you were called together out of this world and unto God, and the outcome being the church of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You are the church community because we have gathered together to worship the one and true living God. You were not saved merely to exist as isolated individuals, which is not community. Rather, you were adopted into the family of God. And therefore, we can utilize this definition of what biblical community looks like in general, which is a definition that we had in the series of what the church is, but I've expanded it. The church, which is all the saved, and so you exist to glorify God by actively building up your fellow brothers and sisters up in the faith. This includes all the one another's, faithfully teaching the word, regularly observing the ordinances, proactively fostering fellowship among believers, and boldly communicating the truth of the gospel to the lost. And even the English word community, which is derived from Latin, communitas, expresses that we have to be together, so that's the Latin com, first part, by being bound, munis, relating to duties, services, and gifts. And in the context of biblical community, there is a one another scripture which expresses our daily mission as a community of the redeemed, and that is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, we have fellowship with one another. And so you need to know that every individual believer, every single one of you who follow Christ, you have a vital place and responsibility within the whole church family. And this gives us a daily reality of biblical community. And that word in the New Testament is a word that you probably know, which is koinonia, fellowship. And it may be expressed with the words common or partnership, communion, or sharing. And what is shared in common is the basis of fellowship, which is a biblical community. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 states this, it is not good for the man to be alone. And so God created us to be in fellowship with God and with other people. Jesus Christ created the tapestry of church to meet this need of community in us, in people, not only with him in worship and prayer, but in relationship with one another. And so hopefully you see the basis of community. And when this is beheld, then the beautiful tapestry of community forms. And since we understand what is community, then we can ask a subsequent question, number two. How can we put the one another's into action? There are over 50 one another's, and you might be thinking, well, how can I do them all, right? And that's a good question, then it's natural to ask that. But let me encourage you and say that there is hope. As the believers in Christ, His Spirit indwells and empowers us to be filled with the Spirit. And this means that you are to be dominated and directed by the living Word of God who is in us and His written Word which is given to us. And so to put in action the one another's, we must know that biblical community is God's will. 1 Corinthians 1:9 tells us, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so God saved us, so that we can be in community with Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians is telling us. And in light of God's revelation, there must be a response. We must be doers of the word. That you have to put these one another's into practice so that the beautiful tapestry of community emerges. And through the strength of the Lord, our wayward desires can be mortified. This involves repentance and cultivating righteous thinking, leading to spiritual maturity as we conform to Christ and to walk in the Spirit. And yet, even for us who are born again, sin remains a reality. And however, through God's grace granted by the gospel, we can be changed to fulfill Christ's purpose of building up and fostering fellowship through practicing the one another commands. And so, even though there's 50 or more one another's, we can do them. And often, if we really do a study of all the one another's, we probably are doing many of them without knowing what we're doing, that we are doing those things. Building the tapestry of community begins with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. That only Jesus lived the perfect life which we could not, and that's where our hope is. He perfectly fulfilled God's law and overcame every temptation. He died on the cross as the just payment for our sins so that we could be accepted by God. And because He lived that life, even though when we fail, we have hope. We have hope that we can live His way because He empowers us, that Jesus Christ not only died, but He rose again. And through that resurrection, He is victorious. He is victorious over the things that we cannot accomplish because He has fulfilled it. He has perfected all things. And so now He helps us. He helps you to overcome your lazy, selfish, and sinful flesh so that we do not neglect the one another's of community. And so we need to turn to Christ. That Jesus calls us to prioritize at least three foundational spiritual disciplines in our daily lives. And these cultivate the heart change necessary to build biblical community. These three things really can be applied to anything in our life, any desire to grow spiritually in. But I'm applying these three things specifically to the one another's this morning. And the first is to live a bowed down life. Philippians 4 verse 6 says this, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so the bowed down life is prayer. Because we cannot build the tapestry of community on our own. And so we cry out. We cry out our SOS to the Lord for help, trusting in His indwelling power to change our hearts so that we are found faithful. And we bow down and pray to maintain our communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be an ever-growing part of OBC's community. And so present yourself to Christ. Bring yourself before him in prayer, asking him to make his desire for the one another's that he gave us your desire, your practice of these one another's. Next, keep your hand on the sword. Spiritual practices can be a spiritual battle. So bring a sword. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And so the word of God given to us must be close at hand as we also adorn the whole armor of God. It is the source of your spiritual power in spiritual battles. That God's word should awaken us to the knowledge and application of specific scriptural truth. And then the third is restructure your life. Important to this process of heart change, to foster your role in biblical community is the principle found in Ephesians 4 in the section 17 to 24. It is the principle of put off and put on. And so Ephesians 4:17 to 24 says this, and I've condensed it a little bit. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, because that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus." Verse 22, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds," verse 24, "and to put on the new self." So we put off the old self, and now the scripture, God's word, is telling us, don't just leave it at that, you need to put on the new. "Created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness." So putting the one another's into action calls us to put off our old self, which belongs to our former way of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Yeah, when we look at this list of the one another's, we think, yeah, I don't really want to do that one. Well, maybe I'll do this one, and I'm kind of good at that. And well, this one, Lord, help me to neglect that one. Forgive someone? I still have a lot of grudges holding in my heart, so maybe I'll skip that one. That's a little bit too hard for me. So we need to pray, and we need to apply the specific one another from God's word, putting on biblical thinking, continually thinking God's thought after him, and to obey his instruction. And this puts sinful neglect to death. There is a spiritual battle between Christ-honoring desires and the evil desires of our flesh that must be crucified. It is the power of the gospel of Christ in us that performs this heart surgery. But we are not merely to put off the old self. As I mentioned, we are to put on the new self, restructuring old thoughts toward biblical community with those around us. And we continue walking in the spirit rather than the flesh, demonstrating the fruit of genuine repentance. And so we continually rely on Jesus to kill sinful thoughts within us and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self of righteousness and holiness. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, train yourself in godliness. And so it takes effort. You can't just instantly put on all the one another's, but we need to train ourselves for that. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes dependence on God. And so restructuring the old and putting on the new takes time. Scripture calls us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's how much effort that it takes from us, but we have that help, we have the hope, we have Christ in us, helping us, stirring us up, bringing us closer to his will. Knowing that it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then finally, I said three, but there's actually four. Practice godliness. And so most of you hopefully got in your hands the piece of paper, half sheet of paper, has 31 one another's. If you don't have it, it might be at the front door. And grab one of those later. 31 listed on the sermon handout, which lend to the beautiful tapestry of community. And I would encourage you to look up each one of these 31 and ask God to help you implement them into your lives. So the first three of how to implement this, how to practice this in this church, in your life. And so you see the first five are bolded and they are from the previous sermons covered. And then the rest are one another's. And you can add to this list as there are more in the Bible. After I asked Janet to help print this and she sent it back, I was looking at it and I discovered there's actually 30. If you're sharp and you're looking at this list, there's only 30. Because I was formatting it, the one that I missed, and which is this topic for today, fellowship with one another. So bad on me. And the one that's duplicated is do not sue. I don't know if Miss Sal, he maybe had something to do with that, right? So, but anyway, there. Add in, cross that out, and put fellowship, and then you'll have the 31. So there's 31 there because most months have 31 days. And so you can figure out your own schedule. That's only a suggestion, just to focus and pray about one and implement one in your life each time or each day, maybe each week. So set your own schedule. But the important thing is to begin to implement what you have gleaned today. It may take a phone call, maybe to write a card and send it in the mail, the old way, you know, to get this card in your hand is quite meaningful instead of getting an email. Maybe call someone or talk to somebody today and just say, hey, let's meet up for coffee. Or share something you have and ask somebody to encourage you or to pray with you. And you can do that. And we should do that more in our fellowship time, our refreshments time after our service. Or be a listening ear. Somebody comes up to you and you notice that there's a burden on their heart and just to listen to them without saying anything. Sometimes we like to say too much. Maybe give something, cook something. Join our morning prayer. Ask for prayer, ask for help. Join one of our ministry teams, and there's more as you go and figure those out as you go through those 31. And since we understand what biblical community is and how we are to put the one another's into action, we can then seek the answer to number three. What is the outcome when the one another's are a part of your life? And so now is the time I want to get back to 9/11. Because of the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001, there were 38 aircraft which were forced to land unexpectedly in Canada, Gander, Newfoundland. And suddenly, almost 7,000 stranded passengers from all around the world descended upon a town of about 10,000. And instead of turning inward and thinking, well, that's the government's job to take care of them, or, well, there's 9,999 others, so who am I? I don't need to do anything. What happened was the residents responded to the mayor's request to them to help these strangers. And in response, the townies of Gander came together and passengers were provided food, clothing, shelter, transportation. They opened up their homes to total strangers. And they did whatever was needed, with certain things even for free. And for several days, strangers became one community. A terrible tragedy became a remarkable demonstration of human generosity. And here's the simple lesson from history, this event that I just spoke of. Working apart divides and weakens us, but working together multiplies our strength. We are always better together in community. And so if the secular world can figure out community, how much more should we practice and delight in biblical community daily? Not weekly, daily. I'm not talking about just practice this when you come on Sunday. It has to extend beyond these four walls into our lives to get to know each other better than we are doing right now. And some of you I know are doing well. And you set a good example. And so the biblical community really emphasizes the unity and oneness of the faith of our church under the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy that we belong together as a family under Christ. And the early church knew this and they lived it out on the pages of Scripture. Acts 2, 47 to 40. 44 to 47 says this, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the outcome when the one another's are a part of your life. With everything in common, such partnership creates a radically inviting place for all believers. And even those drawn by God to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, including those in the groups Gen Z and Millennials. As we close, let us remember that the one another's are not simply a to-do list. I didn't print those out so that you could just go rotely and one by one. That's a good thing, but it's not a to-do list. It is a radical shift that we are called to in your lives to practice the one another's, because what happens is that our church, this family, will grow close together. They will foster unity, and it will make our church healthy and strong. That's what it will do. And so this list is more. And we should see the one another's as simply not 31, not 50 or more, but one thing. The whole, which is true biblical community, which is a beautiful tapestry woven together with the many facets of sharing life's ups and downs, together with one another, together with Jesus Christ at our side. This is your work of ministry as fellow saints. And when you set your heart out to display the one another's, both individually and corporately, daily, then we have arrived at true community. We need to look at this as a stewardship entrusted to us by Christ, because he deeply desires for you in this church to do these things, to have this kind of life, this kind of Christian character, so that our church family would be the radiant glory of Christ's bride, we, his church. And so go, therefore, and practice all the one another's in order to be complete in Christ. The one another's are a reflection of Christ in you. And that's what we want to do. We want to reflect him who is the radiance of the glory of God. And upon his community, Christ, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. You have been saved to exemplify through the one another's God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in what? Community. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. And we come before you now humbled by your word, because we know that we fall short of your glory. And even despite we are trying to live our lives for you, we do fall short. Our attention wanders to self and our own ambitions and to work and to many things which are intrinsically good, and yet they distract us from doing what you want us to do. And so, Lord, we come before you to cry out to you to help us, because we know you are our helper and that your spirit in us would help us to conform to your image, that you would change us from glory to glory, that you would truly make us your people, that when we approach unbelievers, they might see something just really different about us, which would open the door to the gospel. Help us to live like the first church did. Help us to know and get to know and desire to know one another, to open our lives to one another, to trust one another with our vulnerabilities. And so that this church would be a radiant reflection of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we have much to do, we have much to learn, and we sometimes don't know where to start. But Lord, give us that push that we need. We thank you that your word given to us this morning is life. And so, Lord, help us to live this short earthly life in a manner which is pleasing to you. Lord, we know that the day, as this day passes, we're that much closer to your return. And so we pray on one hand, help us, and yet on the other hand, we pray, Come, Lord Jesus, save us. Above all, your will be done. And that is our prayer this morning. And might it be our prayer each day. Change us. Forgive us. Build us up in the faith to be found faithful. And we ask you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Keon, for the message on biblical community. And if you've missed out on the One Another sermons during the summer, you can always catch up on our church website. And with that said, let's all stand.